My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. In 1980, the Alan Parsons Project released an album called The Turn of a Friendly Card. The title track, written by Parsons and Eric Wolfson, said, "There are unsmiling faces in fetters and chains on a wheel in perpetual motion, who belong to all races and answer all names with no show of an outward emotion, and they think it will make their lives easier, but the doorway before them is barred, and the game never ends when your whole world depends on the turn of a friendly card." Most of us are familiar with the mystical use of card decks, including tarot. But my guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Stephanie Snow, says the modern playing card deck is an ancient and metaphysical calendar and uses the deck to read for her clients. Stephanie Snow is a holistic practitioner specializing in Reiki, emotional clearing, and card readings based on the esoteric secrets within the modern playing card deck. With a background in acting and theater, she's been passionate about the human experience and spirituality from a young age. She also brings to her experience as a therapeutic horseback riding instructor and healing work with animals and humans. She's a certified health coach from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition and works one-on-one with clients to shine a light of knowledge on the path of life to align, integrate, and inspire the spirit. Her website is stephaniesnowhealing.com, and she joins us this week to discuss her path and her work. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Stephanie Snow. Good evening, Stephanie.
Hi, Victor. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for joining us this week. You have a fascinating story. So let's start by sharing with our listeners your early path and spiritual awareness.
Sure. I guess I've always been interested in spirituality from a young age. And my own interest and different spiritual experiences led me on a quest. I think a huge part of my attraction to acting was trying to understand the human experience and storytelling specifically as one of the ways we share as humans what it means to be here now is always intriguing. And I think that my it took me time before I really started focusing on my spiritual studies, but it's so beautiful to see how everything I went through in my life led me to where I am now.
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer in the synchronicities in life, and that when we're on a path and we resonate with synchronicities, with information that people bring to us, it helps us along on that path. But when you were a child, you had started having some ideas, some experiences, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I had to learn, I think as an empath, I had to learn what it meant to be in relationship with my own energetic field. I had to overcome fears about other spiritual dimensions in relationship to my own. A lot of that work had to do with standing in my own power. Yeah, I think that lots of different experiences I could go into, but that's what definitely led me on my own studies.
So now you came to New York to study acting, but something changed for you. Tell us, please, what happened.
Sure. I think that in my acting class as well, in one of my more intense studio programs, was the time when we were all sharing a lot of ideas and getting really intimate with each other. And, you know, you can know yourself to a certain extent, but if you're alone on stage in front of an audience, you really have an opportunity to know yourself. And I got to a point in my studies where I wanted to know who I was outside of my role as an actress. I had studied acting and I had been a part of theater ever since I was a little girl. And I think that in terms of the pressure of the industry in New York City and anywhere, and just this sheer competitive energy that comes from this idea of what success means and what it means to network, and that business side of the industry became really overwhelming to me. And I had to get really clear about why I was pursuing acting. I'll never forget when I had to tell one of my mentors that I was quitting acting forever. And I just sort of shed that part of myself like a skin. I obviously just wanted to explore who I was outside of this identity role as an actress. And I chose to follow my passions, and that led me to a nonprofit therapeutic horseback riding center. I've always loved horses so much, and this was a huge healing experience because all of a sudden you cannot charm a horse or even little kids. I think they sense the true you. They sense your authentic self. And this was just such a beautiful time in which I really just got really grounded. I was outside. I was in nature every day. I was feeding the horses and brushing the horses. And I became a therapeutic riding instructor. And actually, in fact, one of my primary teachers in my nonprofit group was an actress as well. And there are a lot of therapists and speech therapists who are working with children. But when you're standing inside of an arena, you have to project. You have to be animated. And a lot of my acting skills I was able to apply to this environment of all places, especially working with children with autism. Your facial features and your energy and your voice, your tone of voice, they're very sensitive to this. So for me, I was able to shine in that environment and really help people and also be my true self, which was really beautiful. I wasn't playing any character. I was just being me. So that was part of my transition from acting to a different career.
Now, you mentioned horses, not being able to act with a horse. Horses, they say, have horse sense. Horses are pretty smart, aren't they?
They are much smarter than we believe them to be. Yes, absolutely.
And they're also empathic, aren't they?
Absolutely. And it's a different kind of intelligence. I think that even in the scientific community, they recognize intelligence on different levels. I think if you were to rate the intelligence of animals, horses are about as smart as a mouse. A dog is technically smarter. A dolphin is even smarter than that. But there's an emotional intelligence and a sensitivity that's a completely different type of intelligence. I think that even as humans, as that we've gotten out of touch with, and horses really bring that back. That they give you that really deeper sense of an intuitive knowing that's really special.
And that must be wonderful for children who are on the autism spectrum to be able to communicate with animals like that.
Oh, it's so beautiful. Absolutely. And I've just witnessed so many beautiful moments between children, particularly children with autism or any other type of physical disability, in relationship to horses. There's just something, even in the eye contact between a horse and children, there's a truth and a knowingness that sort of transcends our own understanding, but that all of us there on the staff and instructors, we witness this connection and this behavior. And it can even be very funny at times, you know. Horses are just so real, and I think a lot of their role is to break us out of our own limited patterns of understanding to something much, much deeper. But it takes a little present-mindedness. It takes a little bit more quietness. The most subtle human behaviors are picked up by a horse in terms of the blink of an eye or the angle at which you're positioning your hips. There's very subtle communication that's happening, and I think that's what a lot of children resonate with, in ways that we're still learning, in ways that we're still observing.
Absolutely. You had mentioned the fact that as you were an empath, and as an empath, acting as an empath is a wonderful thing, but the business end of it, I know being in business for 40, traditional business for 42 years, that being an empath is a difficult thing, isn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You're trying to work with people in a professional manner, and yet you're picking up all of the clues and signals that they're putting out, including some of the negative ones.
Absolutely.
And what would you share with someone who is in business and who's empathic, or who works in other types of fields, who is empathic and is having challenges with others right now?
Well, I guess I would say for and several clients that I work with are in empathic, whatever field you're in, whether that's an office environment or going out on auditions or dealing with a more left brain and like dogmatic approach to whatever's happening. I think for empaths, the first step is just to realize that you are one, or that you have empathic qualities, so that you can start to discern, is this feeling coming from me, or is this somebody else's emotions and energy? The biggest solution, the quickest solution I think of, is salt baths. And I think of visualizations, breathing, and just making sure that at the end of the day, you're taking time for yourself to just let go of whatever doesn't belong to you.
Absolutely. That way you clear your energy and you get back into your grounded self and know what you need for yourself. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. My guest is Stephanie Snow. We're talking about her career as a healer and also about her work with the modern set of playing cards, which she calls the Book of Life. We'll be back with more of Stephanie after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Stephanie Snow. We're talking about her career as a healer and her use of the modern playing card deck to do readings for clients. Stephanie, your personal challenges led you to pursuing becoming a certified health coach with the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. What did you learn about food as medicine?
Sure. I loved healing my relationship with food in terms of understanding it to be a part of my relationship with life itself, and the way that food can work to reconnect us with the earth, and to just have this conscious awareness of the power of the plants that are growing to feed us, and the animals that are giving their lives to nurture us, or your diet beliefs are. I really came more into alignment with myself and took time to really slow down and and understand that food can heal on very deep levels. And, you know, everything's related. And our energy bodies are important to nourish alongside our physical bodies.
And specifically, are there any specific foods that are medicinal in nature that for general purpose people can use to heal?
Oh, sure. There's so many delicious foods that you can choose to eat to heal. But I guess even as a health coach, one of my favorite things to say is to enjoy what you enjoy. If you have different flavor preferences, and not necessarily sugar, but if you have different foods that you love, the most healing thing to do is just love it, and to enjoy your food, and to enjoy cooking, and to enjoy cooking for others, and bringing that passion back into your senses and your experience. We're lucky to be here now, eating all this delicious food that nature has to offer. So I can't point to anything in particular, but when you bring love into what it is that you're eating and consuming, it can be very powerful.
Absolutely. I'm a feeder by nature, and I love to cook for others. And in the process of cooking, the most important ingredient is what? We both know this. Love. The number one ingredient that you put into the food, because people eat that food and they get your love, right?
Absolutely. I think the Institute, Joshua Rosenthal at Institute of at IIN calls it vitamin L.
Vitamin L for love. I love that. That's great. I'm going to quote that in the future. Thank you for sharing that with me. Now, we both share the practice of the Usui lineage of Reiki in our paths. What attracted you to Reiki, and how do you share that with your clients?
Sure. Let's see. I was attracted to Reiki by my family member. My aunt is a shaman in the Native American traditions, and she also has a practice and a background with Usui Reiki lineage, which I was attuned to through her. But her work with, an open third eye and different abilities to perceive our energy centers in our body. Also specifically my interest in understanding what's going on underneath the surface of a person's life, of life itself. When we look at the way our daily lives unfold, often we're looking at it as though we're looking at the tip of an iceberg. But it's underneath the water that the true huge, like the tremendous power of that huge mass of ice underneath that water is what really needs our attention. So Reiki to me is a way of getting past the surface of what's going on to the core issues, whether that's stemming from a chakra that's out of balance or a past life trauma or other relationship dynamics or karma. I think Reiki was what led me, let's say, basically underneath the surface of the water to get deeper. Core issues, when you get to the root of those issues, that's when things in your life can change effortlessly, you know? So that's what attracted me to Reiki.
Now, you shared with me that you are expecting a blessed event. In the process of your pregnancy, have you been giving Reiki to your baby?
Oh, thank you so much. That's also one of the reasons I'm a little out of breath right now is my lungs literally don't have quite as much breathing room. And yes, that's a beautiful question. I've been giving my baby Reiki all the time and feeling connected to him. This is a male body, however he chooses to express himself. This is a little male inside, and I feel him kicking, and it's been a beautiful time.
This is your first child, right?
It is, yeah.
What a wonderful mother he has. I think you're great. And this is good. This child is so blessed. This young man is going to be so blessed in so many ways. So congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
You also offer Reiki for animals. Now, I've had an experience with that, working with animals also. Do you find that animals have a different response to the energy than humans?
Absolutely. So with animals, funny enough, they're as sensitive, and obviously they're cats in particular, I think, have an ability to absorb negative energy and transmute it. But so animals, I think, you know, and I believe animals, particularly house pets, are here as such servants and little angels that are here to help us on our life path. And any animal that's in your life, I think, is for a reason. And they're particularly assigned to you in this lifetime. And they know so much more than we give them credit for about what's going on and what's going on with you. But in terms of how animals relate to Reiki, it's actually really funny. You know, you're working with different parts of their brain and different parts of their spirit. So I think like the animal brain in most pets, they don't necessarily like it. If you're hovering your hands over them, their mental process is maybe more defensive. So animals respond really well to long distance Reiki when they don't necessarily have to deal with their own primal reaction to your hands hovering over them, wondering what's going on, something like that. And of course, it depends on the animal itself. But so it's actually very cute and funny, but it can be very powerful. I think once we're doing Reiki for animals, they tend to absorb the frequencies maybe a little bit faster than humans.
My wife is highly allergic to cats, unfortunately, and also to other animal furs. And years ago, before she and I were together, I had a cat in my life, a cat companion. And I used to call her the Reiki cat, because every time I started working with someone, she would jump up on the table right next to the person and take part in the healing process. So I totally get what you're talking about.
Yes. Even like the scientifically, I think they've studied that the purr itself has healing frequencies, just the sound of the purr. So yeah, that's beautiful.
Absolutely. Now, you also offer emotional clearing that you learned from the Last Mask Center for Shamanic Healing. What are the biggest challenges in emotional clearing, and what's that practice like for you?
Sure. Emotional clearing to me is very similar to internal family systems that's used in traditional therapy by therapists. And it's a way of understanding that we have a way of being in relationship with our emotions. The first step is acknowledging that it's okay and normal to have emotions, and how subconsciously we've suppressed so many of our feelings in our lives, obviously for people who have been through trauma, but also for people just living their day-to-day experience. Like, for example, right now with everything that's happening in our country and with coronavirus, I think that there's a conversation to be had about just taking the time to process different layers of shock, different layers of sadness, of being separated from each other, and realizing that it's okay to cry, giving ourselves permission to listen to our bodies, because our bodies are such storehouses of information and like soul knowing and soul knowledge. And we often just cut that off. Our brain often just cuts off that huge part of our human experience. So in emotional clearing work with clients, the first step is being in a place to have a dialogue and a vocabulary to connect and commute, like talk, almost like you're talking to yourself. You know, in spirituality, we have so many different parts of ourselves, and our work is to become whole, right? Our work is to become one. So when we start to listen to different parts that are coming up, we can learn so much, and we can grow so quickly. And essentially, you know, we can break bonds of like prisons that we've put ourselves in. We can just open these up, and we can become completely so much more free. Emotional clearing work in that sense is a little dynamic, because every person is different, but it's also a way of, when a singular event comes up that causes a trigger response, you could say, like you get upset in the grocery store, or an event happened, that might trigger many different emotional responses. So it's a beautiful technique to sort out which is which. There are layers of anger or layers of guilt or layers of sadness. And emotional clearing gives us the tools to make sense of some things that can just feel way too overwhelming.
It's interesting that a time in which we are wearing masks to protect ourselves, you studied with the Last Mask Center. Do you see any irony in that?
I didn't think about that before. Mm-hmm. The masks that I'm seeing now make me feel really sad. Whereas the shamanic mask is used in different ways, but I'm glad you brought that up. I'll have to reflect on that.
My guest is Stephanie Snow. She is a healer and a card reader with the Modern Deck, and we're going to be talking about her card reading after the break. Stephanie, please tell our listeners where they can find out more about you and all of this wonderful work that you do.
Oh, thank you so much. My website is stephaniesnowhealing.com. And you can find out more about me there.
Wonderful. We'll be back with more of Stephanie after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Social distancing slows the spread of coronavirus, so stay a minimum of 6 feet away from others and stay home if you can. More info at coronavirus.gov. Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Stephanie Snow. She's a healer, and she also is a reader of the Modern Deck of Cards, and we're going to be talking about that in this segment. So your readings focus on the Modern Deck, which you refer to as the Book of Life. How did you discover the metaphysical aspects of playing cards?
Sure. I actually discovered this system of knowledge through my acting class, a studio program that I was in New York City. And several of my friends who are actors were getting readings with my former mentor. His name is Alexander Dunlap. And they said, oh my God, Stephanie, you would love this so much. You have to get a reading with him. And I was like, no, guys, I have enough spiritual books to study. I have enough of my own ways of knowing, like the Enneagram and all my other just stuff I love. And I finally got a reading with him. And then we all just began sharing this in class with each other. And in an acting class, you get to know everybody's personalities so well. So we started seeing these energy patterns that we had received in our readings. We started observing these behaviors, and it really became like a think box, or like a place where we all could talk about this together, and we could just see it happen before our eyes. And so that's how I got introduced to the playing cards as a way of understanding my own personal energy.
Now, you say that the playing card deck is a book without covers, and that it's an ancient and metaphysical calendar. Please explain.
Sure. So many people don't know that the modern playing card deck is actually an ancient calendar. There are four suits. There are four seasons. There are 13 cards per suit. There's 13 weeks per season. If we numerically add the entire value of the deck together, counting the jacks as, let's see, jacks is 11, queens is 12, kings is 13, which would be their value, right, their number. If we add the entire deck together, we get 365 1/4.
Wow. I never knew that. That's amazing.
Yeah, which accounts for a leap year. The Joker, the value of the Joker as 1 1/4, gives us that leap year in there, which the Joker is himself. And the element of the Joker that stands outside of time, like as we know in the modern game, the Joker doesn't play by the rules. So that 1/4 represents that element with which he stands outside of time. And you could even say the reflection that he's giving to whoever it is that he's impersonating. So the calendar system is very... scientific. You can analyze the numbers in so many different ways, and we basically have a calendar.
And I just realized it's 52 cards, so it's 52 weeks.
52 weeks.
Wow. Absolutely. Yeah.
52 weeks, and we have the 12. The 12 court suits represent the 12 months of the year.
Right.
And you can keep unfolding the deck that way. And the system is very much numerically like a rabbit hole. This, unlike the tarot or any other oracle readings, the cards move with you throughout your personal calendar year, so that our years are broken up based on the planets. The planetary influences, our year is broken up into different 52 day karmic cycles.
Wow.
So for example, right now I'm in my Jupiter period, and it's based on your birthday. It's based on your date of birth. So every day in the calendar year, we have a different card at play. And this card is based on sacred geometry and numerology. And people say, well, why is the sky blue? I can't say why January is January and this is this, but each day of the year we have a different card at play in the universe, and that card represents a lot of the energies that play out on that given day. It's just like astrology, but it's a different language in a sense. So for example, today is a 10 of diamonds day. Anybody born today on July 5th is born to play the 10 of diamonds, and this, the suit, the diamond, and the number 10, give us so much information about what is unique to your own energetic signature.
And we're going to touch on the suits in a couple of minutes. So what we're saying here is that the card or cards that are associated with each individual have their own energy.
Yes.
So please share some general examples of how people born into certain suits reflect them. Let's say that people who were born in the heart's suit.
Oh, sure. People who are born to play the heart suit are primarily here to lead with their heart. And their gift is their open sensitivity, their passion, their romance, all of the sensual, beautiful things that we associate with love and the healing power of the heart chakra, and the strength of the heart as well. The Anahata literally means unstruck, the heart chakra, as this huge force of strength in the world. So hearts people have a gift with love and feelings and sensitivity and nurturing, all those beautiful things we associate with love.
And the heart suit, is that correspond to a specific time of the year, a specific quarter of the year?
Sure. Hearts is associated with spring, okay. that new fresh life, that newness. Like in the same way when we fall in love, everything feels so rosy colored and enchanting. It's that first fresh blossom and newness of spring.
Now, can you address some of the numbers associated with the hearts?
Sure. The heart suit would have any of the numbers from ace to king. We have any of the numbers in the suit.
And would a king of hearts have what would be the properties of a king of hearts, for example?
Sure. A king of hearts is an authority that is here to lead and particularly serve through love. So I would say to anybody who's in a king position that part of their role is to really take care of their people. They probably have a sense of who is in their kingdom or what are the causes that they are here to represent. And one of the best ways that they will rule or lead us is with their heart, is with an open heart and the power of their feelings and emotions and love.
And how would that differ with the Queen of Hearts?
A Queen of Hearts is going to lead through a little bit more of a feminine type of love. And they're both gifts and they're both in all of us. Like we have an inner masculine and we have an inner feminine. I would say the Queen might have a little bit more of a nurturing, feminine, intuitive type of care for the people that she's working with. Whereas a king might have a little bit more of a strict leadership in the same way that we think of a father and a mother. We would say, well, what's the difference between a father and a mother? It's almost ineffable, actually, in terms of how that sexuality plays into the energy that's coming through. But obviously, we have both. And in fact, it's very beautiful and very powerful when a woman is born to play the King of Hearts or when a man is born to play the Queen of Hearts, something like that, because you get the full breadth of the inner masculine and inner feminine working.
And what about the Jack?
Sure. The Jack, like, for example, a Jack of Hearts. Yeah. Sure. Jack is very fun because they are here to lead, but not necessarily with the same weight of the heavy crown. They're here to lead with a little bit less responsibility. So this is where we get the idea that Jacks are very fun and playful or even mischievous. Many Jacks, they are sort of blessed and cursed at the same time with this responsibility to take responsibility and be in the spotlight and attend to very serious matters and everything like that. But they don't necessarily want the full weight of the total authority, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. What about the Ace of Hearts?
Sure. An Ace of Hearts is here to initiate something new. So with the ace, when we play the ace in a playing card game, we have, it can be the beginning or it can be the end. So an ace, somebody who's born to play an ace card, whether that's Ace of Hearts or Ace of Diamonds or anything, we're going to see beginnings and endings. In the same way, even just the cycle of life itself, whenever one chapter closes, a new story begins, right? So it's that cycle of life. Wonderful. that we see in Ace.
Now we're going to talk about the other suits in the next segment, but where can people find out what card their birthday correlates to?
Oh, sure. There's, I guess one of the main websites in this community would be Robert Lee Camp. It's seventhunders.com. He has an app on his website where you can easily look up your birth date and see what your birth card is.
Is that number seven or spelled out seven, S-E-V-E-N?
Sure. The number seven.
Right.
Thunders.
Seventhunders.com.
Yes.
That's wonderful. And just generally speaking, once someone knows, I mean, obviously you do extensive readings, but once someone knows what their card is for their birthday, can they get some kind of insight for it?
Sure. Yeah. Some sort of insight report? Or
No, not a report, but some sort of insight. Can they sort of sense for themselves once they know what the card is?
Yeah. Absolutely. I hope so. I think for a lot of people, when they hear their card, you know, what's beautiful about this system is that for as intricate as it is, it's also very simple. And when I first learned my card, I just had this wave of relief wash over me. It was an energy that I recognized that was very unique to me, and only I could truly understand what that meant and how that was playing out in my life. So I hope that people recognize themselves when they hear their card to play.
And we'll be back with more of Stephanie Snow and all about the other suits in the card deck and what they mean after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for greatest of all time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
The student asks the teacher, "How do I experience transformation?" The teacher replies, "When the student is ready to receive deeper answers, the student then asks, 'How do I know what deeper questions to ask?' And the teacher replies, 'When the student decides to commit to a practice inviting transformation, level 2 questions will be revealed.'" Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, and as a teacher and host, I'm inviting listeners to enroll in the Mastery of Transformation by joining me on Decide to Transform, your bridge to Level 2 Answers, Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Stephanie Snow. We talked about her healing path, and now we're talking about her work with the modern playing deck of cards. In the last segment, we talked about the heart suit. What about the spade suit? What does the spade suit mean for people who were born under the spade suit?
Sure. The spade suit literally represents our third eye or our pineal gland, the acorn itself. Is a representation of the third eye. So when we're looking at people who are born to play the spades, we're looking at an open ability to perceive the world and consciousness itself. So these are the dreamers and the doers. These are the visionaries and people who are perceiving reality on very open levels.
So let's look at the King of Spades.
Okay, sure. The King of Spades is one of the most powerful cards in the deck. And when I say powerful, I mean in their ability to serve and lift up others. We have the phrase, "the chief eats last." So anybody who's born into any of the royal suits are here with a responsibility to lead and serve. The King of Spades in particular is going to lead through his consciousness. And whether that's coming from an intuitive place or whether that's coming from his ability to see dreams or other visions. The King of Spades is going to reach into very deep levels in order to help and uplift others.
And the Queen.
And the Queen of Spades is going to do the same thing, but in a feminine way, in the feminine energies that come through our relationship with consciousness. So in particular, you could look at the golden spiral when we look at the Queen, the way that the energy for the Queen plays out. It's yielding, it's flowing, it's surrendering, it's constantly opening up. The golden spiral is a beautiful symbol of the feminine energies.
And what about the Jack?
The Jack of Spades, one of the names given to this card is the Thief or the Actor card.
Okay.
Then another name that's given to this card is the Initiate card.
Mm-hmm.
So the Jacks, as students of life, have an interest and a gift in piercing through to see spiritual dimensions or studying esoteric or spiritual principles.
And the Ace.
The Ace of Spades. This is perhaps the most powerful card in the deck. That when we, you know, especially when we look at even the way like the modern patents of even the playing cards today, the way that they're represented. When we look at the Ace of Spades, all of a sudden we have a larger pip, a larger symbol on that card. And when you look into it, and next time you pick up a playing card deck, you can see there's a woman standing inside the spade with stars all around her. And the Ace of Spades, the card itself, the symbol itself, represents a portal into all of the mysteries of reality, life and death included, secrets, and all of the mysteries that are contained in the entire deck of cards.
Now, I just learned that my birth card is the Seven of Spades. What does that mean?
Sure. So we will look at the number seven as a bridge between heaven and earth. There's a phrase, seven is heaven. So the number seven as the energetic frequency that's lifting us up. When we look at the card itself and take away the numbers that are on like the upper left and right hand corners, when you look at just the symbol, the symbols of the pips, the spades that are laid out on that card, they're either flipped up or they're flipped down. So the seven has that ability to flip up and down. It's an uneven number. And part of that gift is to be able to descend to the lowest lows and bring us back up to the highest highs. So the sevens are very instrumental in that healing process, going from the depths to the peaks.
And the bridging of heaven and earth.
Beautiful, right.
Absolutely.
In the spades suit, which you are, this would be coming through the intuitive, our intuitive understanding of reality. It's coming through life itself, through our soul level, through our dreams, and through our relationship to our spiritual selves.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a gift in connecting us and lifting us up together as spiritual beings.
Well, thank you. That's sort of my mission. Thank you for sharing. That's wonderful. Okay, so we did the hearts and we did the spades. What about the diamonds?
Diamonds are literally the physical stuff of Earth. Anything we can touch, taste, smell, or feel is a diamond. This is the material realms, which can be very material and shallow, but can also be very spiritual. We're here to be on Earth right now. So anything that we can touch, taste, smell, or feel are the diamonds. Diamonds people in particular can have a gift with art, fashion, beauty, anything that's shiny, anything that's of value. And unfortunately, or however you'd like to look at it, society values money right now. So diamonds people do have a gift with money if they choose. But yes, anything that we value, anything that is fundamentally physical is a diamond.
All right, let's go to the Queen of Diamonds. What does she do?
Oh, the Queen of Diamonds is going to be feminine, she's going to step into her feminine mastery of creating value or even wealth for people. That could definitely be money. She could have a gift and donating to charitable causes. She could have an ability to attract money or wealth or finances to herself. She could be a successful businesswoman, but she could also have value in some other thing. For example, if this person who's playing a queen of diamonds doesn't necessarily have an affinity for money, but she loves painting or something like that, she might be a teacher or some sort of leadership in a physical dimension.
Absolutely. And let's go to the clubs. What are the clubs about?
And the clubs, anybody who's here to play in the club suit is here to primarily process the world through their mind. So in the clubs, we have that clover that's blooming in the height of summer. And that is the knowledge and the gift that we have as humans to understand and to know and perceive. So clubs, we're looking at thoughts, language, words, communication, intellectual understanding, and knowing, the desire to learn and grow.
And the Ace of Clubs?
Sure, the Ace of Clubs could come onto the scene with a lot of ideas that can spark a movement. That big bang of the thought process where you just get like an aha moment, like it comes out of nowhere, and now you have this idea that as a seed that's given life, that is meant to grow and grow. So the Aces spark a new movement. With the clubs, it would be like a spark of a new thought.
And again, for folks wanting to find out what their card, birth card is, they can go to seventhunders.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Wonderful. You say that the cards teach us not to become attached to a single outcome. What lessons do they offer us?
That's beautiful. Exactly. So, and especially when we're doing card readings for your year. And just to emphasize for a moment, we have our birth card, but we also have a yearly card. We have a 52-day cycle card. So when I do readings for clients, they're often interested in what's going on for them in their life right now, whether they're in their Mars period or their Jupiter period or their Saturn period of their life, which is a part of this system of knowledge that just kind of unravels, almost like a clock or a calendar that's very personal to you. Often we're looking at how these patterns are playing out. So when we look to the cards to see what lessons are up for us in our lifetime, this is where the card system, as like cartomancy or the devil's picture book, in history, when we look at how the cards were used by the gypsies and fortune tellers, what we're looking at is a very beautiful system that can reveal your life path, but in a way that doesn't give away any answers. It's very much up to you to create your own destiny. And when we look at one card, there's many, many different meanings to just a singular card. They're so multidimensional.
And you also say that the Tao of the deck teaches us that our biggest strengths are also our biggest weaknesses and vice versa. What can we learn from this?
Oh, absolutely. So the Tao of the deck is just a phrase that I coined that I feel like kind of encompasses the way that these cards are meant to play with us. They're very much like fairies, like giving us little glimpses of reality and then taking it away. So like, and that's how it is with life. Like the second you think you know what your life is going to be like or what you think it's going to be like, it changes, right? The cards, even inside of all of these dimensions, remain a guiding light to giving you the key lesson or the key meaning behind something. And this is where, as well, with a birth card, your biggest strengths are also your biggest weaknesses. And with looking at discerning specific outcomes from the cards, they teach us to be unattached because we don't know how it might play out on the surface. But if we can get to the core of what that lesson meant to teach us, we can feel like a lot of peace and we can feel a lot of self-knowing, kind of like we're on the right path.
Stephanie, at this time of unprecedented challenges, what would your reading suggest about the path we're taking as a people, a nation, and the world?
Sure. Collectively, just in my perspective, I think that we're seeing on the surface a lot of upheaval and a lot of significant changes and traumatic events and very, very scary realities and potentials that are going on in the world. Obviously, we've all been hit by COVID-19 and a lot of turbulence in the world right now. In individual readings with clients, there's always a, I don't want to say silver lining because that sounds really simplified, but there's always a deeper meaning that we can see. And I think there's always a always a deeper healing that we can tap into together. For as much as these events have caused us complete panic and stress, and for as much as they've driven us apart, they've also driven us together in new ways and made us appreciate how much we value each other, how much we value each other's health, and how much we are in this boat together. So in individual readings with clients, what I'm able to look at is, what does this mean for you right now? What can you bring to the table to help the cause? Or what can you do in your personal life to soothe yourself or help yourself understand and process these events in a way that's very clear?
Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this wisdom. Please tell our listeners one more time how they can find out more about you.
Oh, thank you so much, Victor. It's been such an honor to talk with you. And if anyone would like to learn more about me and my work, my website is stephaniesnowhealing.com. And I love peering under the surface of someone's life to see what's really going on and getting to the core root of your deeper energy body, your deeper desires for life and healing, whether that's through Reiki or emotional clearing or card readings. This is my favorite subject, and I would love to dive into it all with you at any time.
And thank you for so much for joining us, and best wishes on your upcoming blessed event.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Victor.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.